Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Today I'm going to be speaking about the heart, but before I do, let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word, where we can read about you and what you've done for us and what your will is for us. Pray for help now in portraying your word to the listeners today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So first of all, I'd like to start by talking about what the heart is. What is the heart? We don't really know what the heart is in technical terms. Like, we don't know the substance of what it actually is, but we do have a concept of what the heart is from the verses we read in the Bible. The heart seems to be closely linked with the mind, but it is separate from the mind. And I'd like to read a verse in Matthew that talks about the heart, the mind, and the soul. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Wait a minute. That's chapter 21. Okay, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This verse indicates that the heart is separate from the mind. The heart seems to be the part of us, the emotional part of us, that says, this is what I desire, this is what I feel, how I feel. You may have heard the expression, this is the heart of the problem, meaning the root of the problem or the central cause. When we talk about trees, sometimes we'll say the heart of the tree, which is the center of the tree. The heart seems to be the focal point. It seems to be what directs our desires and our thoughts and our intentions, as well as our genuine feelings. The heart seems to be the focal point, as I already said. Oftentimes the heart, what is in our heart comes out in what we talk about. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So to some degree, there is an outward manifestation of what is in our hearts. That's one reason why we need Jesus in our hearts. Sorry if I'm taking a little while to get to it. I'm using this little Bible so I can try to get to my verses quicker. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's why we need God in our hearts, because our own hearts by ourselves is evil. One thing about the heart, though, is that the heart is like an anchor point. It doesn't forget as easy. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So it seems like the heart remembers things more so than like the mind would. For instance, with the mind, we might remember something for a short time and then forget about it, like, for instance, taking a test. Well, at least I've experienced this. I would memorize something for a specific test, and then I would take the test, and I would remember on the test. And then when I go to take the next test, I forget what I learned for the first test, because the sole purpose of memorizing that information was to pass the test. So it's just like it serves to do something. It's not really indwelling in us and part of us. It's not like the reason for why we do everything. It's just one function. So now I've made an illustration of the heart. I don't know if you can tell what this is or not. It's a bike tire, and here's the rim. It's a bike tire without the rubber on it. And in this illustration, this is the hub, which represents the heart, and these are the spokes, and these spokes represent the connection between the heart and our thoughts and our words and our deeds. And the outside of the rim revolves around what's in the heart. I'm going to develop that illustration later. So this right here is the place that God should be in our lives. So now I'd like to show some examples of some people in the Bible where God reveals what was in their hearts. To start with, let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Second Chronicles 32, verses 25 and 26. And this is talking about Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him, and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So we see that Hezekiah's heart was lifted up in pride, but he humbles himself, and that's what we need to do. There's a lot of stories in the Bible about pride of heart, and that seems to be one of the main sins of the heart. Naturally, our sin natures seem to seek self-glorification, which is pride. Another example of it, of pride, Obadiah 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? So we see there another example of pride. And then Jeremiah chapter 49. Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 16. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock and holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. So another aspect of the heart is stubbornness or hard-heartedness, as the Bible often says. I'd like to read an example of that in Exodus with Pharaoh when the children of Israel were in slavery. Let's go to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain... Wait a minute. No, I want to read a different one first. Exodus chapter 8, actually, and verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, this is when the Lord was sending plagues on Egypt, and the specific plague was with the frogs. And it says here that when there was a break in the plague, when the frogs had died out, when there was an interlude in the hardship of the plague, that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he turned back to his way and wouldn't let the children of Israel go. And then in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 34, and when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So again, in the plague of the hail and the thunder and the rain, when that let up, he hardened his heart again. Sometimes we can be the same way. When the danger is past and things seem calm, sometimes we ignore God and we sometimes turn to our own ways again. Rather, we should be of a broken and contrite heart. As the psalmist would say in Psalm chapter 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Another portion in Isaiah correlates to this, I think, in a way. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, starting in verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit and of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. In Pharaoh's case, when he would not let the children of Israel go, there was no peace. So now I've mentioned some bad aspects of the heart, and now I'm going to mention a good aspect of the heart. A good aspect of the heart is that a heart can be willing. Let's look in Exodus chapter 35, where it speaks of willing hearts. Exodus Exodus chapter 35 and verse 5, and the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel, and it looks like they're building a tabernacle or something. Verse 5, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." Verse 21 also, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the Lord of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments." Verse 22, "And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord." And then verse 26, "And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair." And verse 29, "The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." And then verse 34 and 35, "And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work." So we see that if your heart is willing, God can give you wisdom and ability to do what his will is for you to do. The question is, are you willing? The Lord sometimes calls us to do things that we're not always willing to do. For instance, obey the law. It's not always easy to obey the law. Sometimes we have to step into the freezing cold water, if you will. Meaning, get in a spot where we're not comfortable, do something we don't want to do. And now I'd like to read a verse in Jeremiah again. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Now I'd like to focus in on the first phrase, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins." To me, that phrase, "I try the rein," seems to say God allows us to go through life, and he watches and he searches our hearts to see what we will do. Getting back to obeying the law, Psalm 1, 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So we see also that delight can be found in obeying the law and doing what the Lord wants us to do. For a final example, let's look at a few kings whose hearts were for the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Second Chronicles 25, verse 2, and this is talking about King Amaziah. "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart." And now, Second Chronicles chapter 15, verse 17. This is talking about King Azariah. For the high places... Wait a minute. Is that Azariah? No, King Asa. Sorry about that. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect in all his days. So we see that if you contrast these two kings, it is possible to have a perfect heart towards the Lord, but still not do wrong. And it is also possible to do right, but not with a perfect heart. The Lord wants us to love him with our whole hearts. That verse in Matthew 22, verse 37 that I read earlier, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So now I'd like to expand the illustration that I had earlier of the bike tire with the spokes. So we have the hub, we have the spokes, and the spokes are all in one line on the hub, right? So if we take the spokes and we put them in all directions on the hub, it makes a sphere. My point is, you know how when you have a mirror and you turn it in the sun, you can see the light reflect off of it at one angle? Well, if you have a sphere that is like a mirror and you put it in the full sun and you look at it, you can see the light reflecting off of it. And no matter where you stand around that sphere, you can see the light reflecting off of it. And what I'm trying to illustrate is what happens when we let Jesus into our hearts. We can, God will come out in more than one aspect. but however, no one's perfect. And that's why we need the God's salvation that he's provided for us. Also, to expand that illustration with the tire, no one being perfect, there are various things that can go wrong with the tire. For instance, the pressure could be low, or the tire could be out of alignment with another tire, or the tire could be off balance, or you might need to grease the ball joints that allow it to steer easily. So now I'd like to read verse in Psalm 51:10. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And then, in closing, I want to read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." So that's all I have, and I think gents can take the rest of the time.